Look at Acts chapter 8 and verse number 40. Acts chapter 8 and verse number 40. I want to talk a little bit about a missionary by the name of Philip. Oftentimes, Philip's not seen. I know it says Philip the evangelist. But a missionary is just one sent out by the church to evangelize a lost world. And I'm intrigued by this man, Philip. He's a special man. I want to talk about his life a little bit tonight, and then I'll be done. But I want you to notice something in verse 40 of Acts chapter 8. The Bible said, "But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea." I'm interested in this word, these thoughts. But Philip was found. I want to preach a little bit tonight on can you be found? Can you be found tonight? Let's pray, keep your Bibles open, and then we'll get into the thought. Our Father, thank you, Lord, for your goodness tonight. Thank you again, Lord, for the tremendous privilege to be around so many great men and women of God. They just simply love you, Lord. There's no perfection in any of us, and I just praise the Lord for those that, Lord, just want to do what they can to please their Savior. And so tonight, Lord, would you take this simple thought and use it to your glory. Rechallenge our hearts to service and to evangelizing a world that's lost without Christ. And we'll praise you, Lord, tonight for whatever you do in our midst and give you the glory for it in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen and amen. And you can be seated. Now, let me give you a little bit of the background of the story. If you've been in church any length of time, and I'm pretty sure Brother Ken has preached from this passage of Scripture maybe a time or two even here. But I want you to notice in verse number 26 of Acts chapter 8 is the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. I want to emphasize a few verses, and then I want to go to Acts chapter 6, and then we'll get down to the preaching. But Acts chapter 8, verse 26 says, "And the angel of the Lord," that'll be significant in just a moment, "the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go towards the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza." So he's leaving Jerusalem, he's going down to Gaza, which is desert. "And he arose and went, behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all the treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot and read Isaiah the prophet." Now, then the Spirit said unto Philip, we see in verse 26, again, we'll talk about that in a moment, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. This time, the Bible said, "Then and the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to the chariot." And Philip ran thither to him and heard him and read prophet Isaiah and said, "Understand thou what thou readest." We do know that at that point, Philip began to preach a little bit. The Ethiopian eunuch was saved and baptized. And then the Bible said, immediately Philip was caught away. That eunuch looking around, he can't find him. And then the Bible said, but Philip was found in Azotus. We see a man just faithful to go where God would send him. And he could be found wherever there was a sinner in need of a Savior. Wherever there was a place that the man of God could preach, he could be found in that place. Now, back up for just a moment to Acts chapter 6, and let's find out a little bit about who this man Philip was. In Acts chapter 6, we see that revival had broke out. Take your mind back to the setting for just a moment. It was not from Jerusalem. Philip was from Caesarea. And Caesarea was a good journey away. This was a time in Jewish history that most of the time a man, he may be as a child, but as a man would normally only witness this as a Jewish man one time in his life. Preadventure, he lived a longer life. He might see it twice. But this was the time of Jubilee. This was the time of Pentecost. It came every 50 years. And at that 50-year time, it was such a time of liberation. It was a time of jubilee. It was a time of shouting for men that had sold themselves into captivity or servitude would be set free. If you had mortgaged your land or gave your inheritance, it would be returned back to you. You might, on the other hand, Philip could have been going to be set free. Philip might have been going to receive inheritance that was lost down through the years. He could have very well been turning over some land that he had accumulated or setting a slave free. Nonetheless, he was on his way to the Jubilee time, the time that every Jewish man longed to see, to the city they longed to be at, and he was going down excited from Caesarea to Jerusalem to a time of feasting. But little did Philip know, something else was going to happen to him when he got down in Jerusalem. He would show up for a time of earthly festivity and jubilee, but Philip undoubtedly didn't know that before he got there, that a mighty rushing wind had blown through that city, and God had visited His people, and salvation swept by that way. And this man that went down for jubilee came out a little different. And the indication in the Bible, he was in no hurry to go back home. And we see here about this man now, all this going on, and 5,000 have been saved that we know of record of, and the church is forming. And typical when a church is growing, when a church is building, when God is blessing them, you're going to see Acts chapter 6, verse 1. And in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring. Going to happen. If you have growth, the devil's not going to be pleased. And so there's going to be some murmuring. And notice it said the murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, the Greek people against the Hebrew people. Because their widows were neglected in daily menstruation. Then the 12 called the multitude together and said unto them, it is not reason we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Now watch this. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report and full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom who we may appoint over this business. Now in verse 5, it lists these men. 5 of these men we'll not talk about because they're not mentioned again in the Bible. Josephus says little about them. Historians say little about these men. 2 men of this group were significant. They were Stephen and Philip. Now I'll preach in a minute. Hold on. Stephen and Philip. Verse 5 said, and saying, the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost, and Philip. Now, Brother Ken, I've been doing some study and doing a little historical study, and I'm finding that some men think, the Bible doesn't imply it, but some men think very possibly that Stephen and Philip could have been related. They might have been brother-in-laws, they might have been cousins, but they could have been related. No, my thoughts are all 7 of these men were of Greek background. Could have had a Jewish daddy, could have had a Jewish mama, but a Greek background because it was the Greeks' widows being neglected, and these are Greek names. And we see here these 2 men, and this is significant if they were related. Nonetheless, they were probably the best of friends. They were companions in the ministry. Stephen would be the first to be martyred. The first martyr of the church. Philip would go on to be what I think was the first missionary. Some say Barnabas, some say Paul, but I think Philip. For he was found in Gaza and other places and sent out from Jerusalem. He seems to me like one of the first missionaries to be sent from the young church that Jesus was bringing into organizational existence. And I want to talk a little bit about this man Philip and just ask the question, can you be found? It's significant about Stephen and Philip, and I'll close the message with that thought in just a moment. But I want you to see a few things tonight. I want us to notice that First of all, that by implication of being full of faith and the Holy Ghost, that Philip was a spiritual man. A spiritual man. You see, God's not calling good football players to evangelize the world. And God's not looking for some great abilities. God's just looking for a spiritual man and a spiritual woman that are just willing to do something on His behalf. And Philip was a man full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. And go back now to Acts chapter 8, and we'll linger around there for a while. I wanted you to see a significance for a moment. You see, not only was he a spiritual man, but Philip was a silent man. I want you to get this for just a moment. Acts 8 and 26, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. That indicates the Word of God. And then 29 said, then the Spirit said unto Philip. That's the Spirit of God. In both cases, the Word's doing the speaking and the Spirit's doing the speaking, and Philip's not speaking. He was a silent man. You know what's wrong with some of us today? We do too much talking. We get in our prayer closet, we do too much talking. Maybe it'd do us good to just do some listening. Maybe it'd help us today that we would be found a silent man and a silent lady who our lives are not guided by our own dreams and desires, but we're silent. Lord, here am I. Lord, send me. And missions are nothing more. There's no great ability needed, no great education needed to be a missionary or do the work of missions. It's simply one saying, Lord, what would you have me to do? I'm listening. I'm just listening. Now, thirdly, we see that Philip was not all that, but the Bible said, and Philip ran thither to him. When he said, go, Philip was a serious man. You see, if God's going to call people, if God's going to use you and me, if we are as even church members, and Judy and I are members of a local Baptist church and have been the same church for 35 years, and if we're going to be serious about this thing of propagating the gospel and being the church member that we should be, we need to be spiritual in our thinking. We need to be silent in His message and let Him do the talking. And we need to be serious about this thing of reaching the world with the gospel of Christ. Now I want you to look at this. I'm almost ready to preach. Got one more thing to tell you. I like this about Philip. Now watch this man, Brother Ken. Here he was in Jerusalem. He had left Caesarea going down for an earthly festival. But he got down there and the glory fell. And I mean, folks are getting saved. And every service is a worship service. And the Holy Ghost is blowing through every time Peter gets up and preaches the gospel. And Philip is serving and doing. And the longer he stays, the fuller he gets. His faith gets full. And he's full of the Holy Ghost. And can I tell you, first of all, here we have a man in a desired place. He's in a place we all would love to be. He's in that place where we'd like to be, in the place of worship. We'd like to be in the place of service. Philip's in a desired place. But can I tell you, we can't always stay in that place. The next time we see Philip, the Bible said, and he was down in Samaria preaching. I wrote down he was in a desired place, but secondly, he was found in a different place. The Samaritan people, Samaria was the capital of the divided kingdom of Israel and Judah, and it became the Assyrian people intermarried with the Jewish people. They became half Jew, and the Jewish people didn't like them, and the Jewish people despised them simply because they were different. And can I tell you that Philip could be found faithful when the shouting was going down, and Philip could be found faithful when everything was going good. But as soon as Philip was found in a different place, he could still be found faithful. I'd almost be willing to say in all these years, Brother Ken, there's some folks that have left this church and made this statement. It ain't the same. It's different than it was. Can I tell you, God's looking for faithfulness. He's looking for those when to shout, to go ahead and shout. But even when it seems a little different, even when the Spirit's just a little bit different, God's looking for faithful, even in the different place. I can't help it tonight. God put in my soul, there's not one ounce of prejudice in me. I don't have it. There's not a color of a skin that I don't love. Now, there's some Yankees I got to get used to, but that's all right. Other than that, now listen, God has humbled me. I can't understand it. Brother Kim, my dad, I was raised in the military. I was 13 years old when I moved off the, when Dad moved us off the base and raised all my life, born in Fort Wright, Kansas. That's just the way my life was. I'm 13 years old and lived. And so you could not have prejudice. Boy, they would get, boy, you got in big trouble. So my dad raised us not to be prejudiced. And all my life, I had no problem except where Yankees were concerned. And God humbled me. My son-in-law is from northern Pennsylvania. My daughter-in-law is from Boston, Massachusetts. So I'm humbled today. Amen. And can I tell you, my daughter-in-law, the first time, and her from Boston, and she's the sweetest thing. Faith is one of the sweetest girls I've ever met. But she concluded, one thing I'm not going to do, I'm not going to talk that southern talk you talk. And one day she was getting something and they were staying with us at the house and she was getting something and she said, "Where y'all going today?" And we just, well, we shouted the victory down. Revival broke out in our house. Can I tell you, I've learned to love people even though they're different. I've learned to love them just like they are. Can I tell you tonight, old Philip could be found faithful when he was sitting in the church house and everybody was sweet and the glory was falling. But he could be found faithful on the job, and he could be found faithful across town, and he could be found faithful where people and things were different. Can I tell you, thirdly, his ministry moved on from a different place till here's a place no preacher wants to be, but he was. He's found down in Gaza in a dry place. A dry place. There's some days I get up and I read my Bible and I think, God, are you ever going to talk to me again? There's times I pray, and when I get done praying, I thought, well, Lord, I hope you heard something. Because I feel like I just wasted a whole lot of time, your time, not my time, but your time. It'd just be so dry. Boy, I've been blessed of God to preach around this world and see the glory of God be so sweet. But I've seen many times. I preached in a Russian church one time. Brother Ken, there were 900 people in there. And when you got up to preach, you'd have probably left. They set a table right here. The platform set up about this much higher. They set that table right there. And they had the senior pastor. And then they had two other pastors. And then they had two deacons at this table. They got their Bible out. They sat. I was a guest speaker. He said, with the interpreter, he said, "You got 20 minutes. I can't pray and read my Bible in 20 minutes. He said, "You got 20 minutes. And I thought, he'll give me a little space. And right up on that pulpit there in Russia was a clock. And it wasn't just a clock. It was a stopwatch. And when he says, "Go ahead," he went click. Time I introduced myself, read the scripture, prayed, and let him interpret it. I was down to 5 minutes. And I said, "I hope all y'all are saved. If not, you're going to hell. You need to get saved." And I was done. You'd love this one. Every one of them looked like a picture. I mean, there was not a smile in that 900 people. I looked everywhere, Brother Mike. I couldn't find a smile anywhere. Then that preacher got up, walked down in front of the church, stood right here. And people got up and started coming down and would greet him. And the men kissed him right on the mouth with a holy kiss. And he wanted me to stand down there, but that didn't work out. And can I tell you that it's tough being faithful in the dry place. But there are times. Now come on, am I the only heathen in here? Or do you wake up on that first spring morning after it's been a hard winter and it's Sunday morning And it, man, it's dead, a cloud in the sky. And it's beautiful. And it's time for church. And all you're thinking about is, man, I'll bet you the bass are biting today. And if I wasn't preaching, now I go to church, but I can't say I always want to go. Sometimes I'm just dry. And in those dry times, I believe God honors just the fact that I get up anyway and put on my shoes, put on my tie, and just go. I've stood in the pulpit so dry. I get done and go back at my prayer closet and say, oh God, I can't live this way. I don't understand preachers, brother. Brother Ken, you probably know some of the story, some about it. I'll not call any names, but dear friends of ours, going through a time, and man, 70-something years old, probably on his way to prison, stood in the pulpit, planted two churches, now coming out that he's been nothing but a drunk, beat his wife all these years and years and years and years. And I told Judy, a missionary we know and have known for years, now with 20 years for child abuse, I'll leave it there, okay? He's going to spend the rest of his life probably in prison if they don't kill him there. I told Judy, I can't stand getting in the pulpit dry. How do they do that? How do they... But I know what it's like to be dry. Can I tell you? It was in the dry place the Ethiopian eunuch got saved. Because the man of God was faithful in the dry place. You stay faithful. You stay where God wants you to be. And one day that grandbaby will walk this aisle. And one day that husband will come. Somebody go glory tonight. Stay faithful even in the dry place. We're in trouble. I ain't even got to my message. Now here's what I want you to see. And he said in Acts chapter 8 and verse 14. But Philip was found at Azotus. Azotus is the New Testament word for the Old Testament city, Ashdod. You remember Ashdod? Ashdod is the one place that was later after the Babylonian captivity. And in that time before Ashdod was ever conquered, David could not conquer that Philistine city. The Jewish people could not conquer that Philistine city. And they could not bring those walls down. That's where the Philistines stole the Ark of the Covenant, took it there, brought it before the God of Dagon. Dagon would fall down. And the Philistines said, hey, get this thing out of here. We can't stand it. They were smote with something. I'll leave it at that. Read your Bible. But it was, just put it this way, they needed preparation H when God got done with them. That's in your Bible. And can I tell you, it was a wicked place. It was a vile place. And for alliteration purposes, I said Philip was faithful in the desired place. And he was faithful in the different place. And he was faithful in the dry place. But can I tell you, he was faithful in the destitute place. Brother Ken, I heard on Christian radio the other day, they talk about Generation X and the millennial generation and this and this. And they were talking about the generation from today, from the age 4 to 35. And from age 4 to 35 worldwide, they did, how they do this, I don't know, but they did survey, and they said from the age from 4 to 35, I think it's the Generation X or whatever, and millennial, whatever they are, we're just the old generation, me. But this generation from 4 to 35 living today, less than 4% believe that Jesus was the Son of God. They believe he historically was a person. If that remains, and you and I don't get serious about evangelizing the world, if that remains, my 4-year-old granddaughter, when my generation's gone, I'll be 58 this year. If I live 30 more years, by the time she's 34, there very possibly won't be a church for her to attend. If things remain like it is. Do you not think our nation is destitute? And if ever God is looking for a people to be found faithful in the destitute times, comes across my desk being vice president. Not a week goes by I don't get letters from churches and pastors that said, we're dropping so-and-so, we're dropping so-and-so, we're cutting back on missions, we can't make it, the church is struggling, the economy's bad, and missions go down and down. And one of our missionaries lost 5 supporters this week. Simply because in these destitute times, faithfulness is falling to the wayside. And he was found faithful. Let me give 2 or 3 things I'm done tonight. By way of the question, can we be found? I jotted this down. First of all, can we be found where the saints of God can find us? Boy, the saints of God can find us tonight. Can they find us tonight committed to just an old-fashioned church service? Will they find me committed, Brother Ken, to worshiping the way that they worshiped up days gone by? Will they find me committed? Can the saints of God know that Ricky Dunsford, 15 years from now, still waving a King James Bible, still believing salvation is by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves, but it is a work of God, still preaching hell's hot and heaven's sweet? Will the saints of God find you faithfully committed to the house of God? I taught a leadership meeting about 2 weeks ago. Brother Ken, about a year ago, the Lord gave me thoughts and my lessons for those 3 days was leaders, and Christian leaders is who I was teaching, that leaders are not bulletproof. We're not bulletproof. I dealt with disappointment, discouragement, despair, distraction, and depression. Leaders are not bulletproof. At the end of that, a good preacher friend of mine and doing a great work for God came up and tears were running down his face. He said, Brother Ricky, that's my dad. He said, 35 years my daddy pastored churches throughout Alabama and preached the gospel with thunder and fire, and something happened. In the last 5 years, he doesn't even go to church now. He said, my children don't understand why Papa won't go to church and a preacher. And can I tell you tonight, can the saints of God find us faithful? If the preachers are falling by the wayside, God help the members. Can we be found? I want to get to the last point, so I'll just give you these. Can we be found where the saints of God can find us committed and compassionate? And there's a Bible word called careful in the New Testament. And this word careful, it has an implication from the Greek text of anxiety. When it says careful, to have you careful, it means to be without anxiety. And can the saints of God find us with our nerves not all tore up? I mean, just believing this book that we preach and believing the Savior that we're believing that He's able to keep us even in the most difficult times. Can the saints of God, do we encourage one another by being faithful? Secondly, can the sinners find us? And again, I'll give you these because I want to get to the last point where we are still seeking them. I want to give you this one where we're sensitive to their eternity. Now, just like most young preachers, I got caught up in about every kind of thing you can get caught up as a young preacher. And I got caught up right on the edge of that easy believism crowd. And then I got on that Arminian crowd. You can't get saved if you don't get saved my way. And I mean, finally, I think I found the balance. Because I figured out all I got to do is preach it and He'll do the rest. So I pretty much found my balance. But I remember I was a young man and there was this church in Texas and I had went out there to go to Bible college and they were running about 1,600 on Sunday morning and they were baptizing 12 or 15 a week and they were bussing the kids in and everything else and they were known for their soul winning. And they had, and I wanted to be a soul winner. I wanted to know how to lead people to Christ. I didn't know how. And I went out there and I wanted to go there. And so I go to this church and on Saturday morning, every Saturday morning, over 120, 125 men met at the church. The pastor taught a little lesson, divided you up, gave you tracts, gave you door hangers, and you went out, and you know, it's a, you got this Metroplex, so, we were all assigned to go out and knock about 200 doors on a Saturday. And my first time when I told Judy, I said, I can't wait. They're going to put me with a great soul winner. He's going to teach me how to go out and tell people about Christ and knock on doors and how to handle it when they cuss you. Because I'm from South Alabama. My way was to punch them. So I said, I'm going to learn how to do it right. And they divide all up, Brother Ken. And they say, well, Brother Dunsford, come here. And then they appointed me with a 15-year-old boy. I think, in my mind, I thought, this is wonderful. I come all the way out here, I want to get teamed up with a man who's done it and knows what he's doing and teach me some things, and now I'm going to babysit. So I said, come on, son, and we get in the car, and you know, I'm only 24, 25, I guess, Judy, however old we were. We were young. And he gets in the car with Brother Ken. We drive to our area. We got these 200 doors to knock, and it is pouring down rain. I said, well, might as well go back to the church. I'm defeated, you know. I got this kid. And we pulled up beside this door, and I said, let's go back to the church. That 15-year-old boy looked at me and said, Mr. Dunsford, I understand you don't want to get your suit wet and you don't want to get your Bible wet. And I mean, it's pouring. He said, but the Lord really wants me to knock on that door right there. Well, I'm sitting over thinking, now you're going to be spiritual, huh? I said, all right, let's go. We get out, we're drenched. And this, we knock on the door, and I mean this big old guy comes in. Whoom, whoom. And he's watching the Dallas whatever on there getting ready for the game the next day. And we've upset his day, and he said, what are the blankety blank you want? And my flesh was about to tell him. And we said, I said, well, we're from so-and-so Baptist Church, and we're just out inviting people to church and like to invite you. I don't go in. Boy, he let me have it. And he said, just get out of my... And I was thinking, fine, let's go. And do you know that 15-year-old boy said, sir, it's storming rain. And he fell down on that man's feet. He looked up at the rain on him and tears running. He said, sir, please, sir, don't go to hell. Please. Brother Ken, that big old man fell straight down. He picked that boy up and he said, tell me, son, what I'd do not to go to hell. Boy, I went back home. Judy said, how'd it go? I said, I met the best soul winner I've ever met in my life. Here was a boy just sensitive to the eternity of sinners. Can we be found today? You know, we pass by and forget about those dying and going to hell around this world and forget about being faithful to our mission giving and our praying and our reaching others. But I want to close with this. Can we be found where the Savior can find us? Simply, are we faithful to our church and the cause and the commission? But again, the commitment to the church. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 21. Acts chapter 21, as I close. This man, Philip, is interesting. He was not from Jerusalem. He was from Caesarea. If you trail his life, you'll find that he went from Jerusalem to Samaria to Gaza to Azotus. You find now that we don't hear from him after Azotus. And some believe some 18 years have passed. Now, Philip could have been an older man at that time. He could have been a younger man. We don't know. But he was definitely a mature man. And we'll see that in just a moment. But 18 years have passed and we don't hear anything. We come now, remember what I said, Stephen could have very well been related to him. Nonetheless, he was a companion in the ministry and a good friend. Remember who was responsible for the death of Stephen? Philip's friend, possibly his cousin, possibly his brother-in-law, the Apostle Paul. Years have passed now. Look, if you would, in 21 and verse 8. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea. And we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. Here's a man. The Bible called him the evangelist, so after these years have passed by, he is still committed to the same message. He's faithful. Time has passed, but he's still faithful. He's not having Jerusalem experiences anymore. He's back home in Caesarea. Maybe he can't travel like he used to. He's just home. But he's still faithful to the message. Here's a man, if anyone should have hated the Apostle Paul, it would have been him. But instead he welcomed him to his house, so he was still faithful and committed to missions. Here was Paul, this missionary. Here was his company, these missionary helpers. And Philip said, come on in, missionary. Come into my home. I'll feed you and take care of you. But I want you to see this after all those years, if you would. He was faithful to the mandate of God, and this is what happened, verse 9. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophecy. You see, his faithfulness took care of his family. Four girls, as the Bible said, they were pure. Four girls, they were all in the ministry. Because the man of God, the people of God, were found faithful. Here's what God wants tonight. He simply wants us to be found faithful. Faithful in our prayer life, faithful in our Bible study, faithful in our concern for sinners and telling others, faithful in our mission giving, faithful into our church. Can you be found? He might put you in a dry place, but can you be found faithful? He might put you in a different place. Can we be found faithful? And the church is heading in these last days to a destitute place. Can we be faithful? Will we still sing the faithful songs of Zion? We still gather in our prayer room on Sunday night and pray. Will we be found faithful? I cannot close the message without this. Our Bible ends with this. That whosoever's name was not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. Can your name be found there? Can he find your name there? What about those whose name are yet to be there? Can we be found faithful so one day their names can be found in the book? Stand with me tonight, would you please, as I pray.